Welcome back to Duskwall. As always, thank you for joining us and for sharing what you think about the show. We've gotten a lot of new listeners recently, thanks to people telling their friends and Twitter followers about us. So if you like the show, keep telling people about it. Subscribe and leave reviews. All these things help more people find us. Next, Kim is going to tell us about this month's featured charity.
Last year, the music world lost one of its most influential voices in Chester Bennington, lead singer of Linkin Park, who died by suicide in July. Since his passing, there has been an outpouring of love and support from within the community, but also a desire for change. 320 Changes Direction, which is spearheaded by Chester's wife, Talinda, aims to offer resources and support to those suffering from depression and addiction and to change the way that we think and talk about mental health. To learn about the 5 signs of emotional distress, make a donation, or take the pledge to be a part of the culture for change, visit www.changedirection.org. Together, we can end the stigma that surrounds suicide and depression and make Chester proud.
If you have a few dollars to spare, consider donating today. Now then, let's get started, shall we? So you head over to the offices of the North Hook Mirror over at the docks. And when you get inside, one of the pages who's working there recognizes you and walks you back to the office that Lonnie and Roxanne share. It is, as mentioned previously, a mess of paper. Lonnie is at her desk, shuffling through some of those papers, and Roxanne looks up and waves at you and taps Lonnie on the shoulder when you all squeeze into the office. Lonnie, like, brightens and gestures for one of you to close the door, and she starts explaining what she's found out. Like, she basically just kind of launches right into what she's learned about the Umbra Hunters. The information on the Umbra Hunters was somewhat difficult to find. They were broken up about 7 years ago when their leadership was arrested. But it turns out it looks like it was all the leadership except one. There was an informant among the gang's leaders who sold out everyone else. They all went to Iron Hook. And as best I can tell, the rest of the leadership has since been killed in prison. And unfortunately, I don't know this person's name, because in all of the records I could get access to, the name was either redacted with ink or in some cases, and she pauses in signing to hold up a piece of paper that literally has like cut out with a scalpel, little sections of paper where a name would have been. So she lowers that and raises her eyebrows and then continues. I think that the Bluecoats probably have his name in some records somewhere. They wouldn't completely strike this information from their records because they would want to keep leverage on a person like this. I don't know exactly where that would be. Maybe in the archives somewhere. I also learned that a lot of the gang members who used to be part of the Umbra Hunters are now providing security at the Centralia Club. The Centralia Club is a very high-end social club.
Oh boy.
It has the finest in drinks, food, drugs, companionship, any pleasure that you could want, you could get here for the right price. The entry fee to gain membership into the club is 4 coin per person. Oof. It is extremely expensive and extremely exclusive.
That's fine.
Other former members of the Umbra Hunters have been seen continuing their attacks on the Gondoliers. No one else has been killed at this point, but they're still being attacked pretty frequently. Lonnie, as she kind of finishes her explanation, rummages around in her papers some more and comes up with a couple sheets of paper that she hands over to you guys. And it is a list of names. These are about 12 members of the Umbra Hunters that I was able to confirm their former membership. You recognize a couple of the names from the report that you originally stole from the Night Market Station, but a lot of the other ones don't look familiar to most of you. Finn, there is one that stands out to you. Elizo Fortunato. You know this guy. He's a street brawler and pit fighter. You've seen him in some of the pits before. I don't know if you would have fought him because he is about 7 feet tall, basically a mountain of meat.
Yeah, Finn's tough, but not that tough. It would be like she goes in the ring and gets her head squished.
Yeah, and he also is a guy where, like, there have been a couple, quote-unquote, accidental deaths in the ring against him.
Oh my god.
Lonnie hands that list over. This is all the information that I was able to find. If you can keep digging, see if you can find out what their connection to the Circle of Flame is. Any information that you can bring us would be greatly appreciated.
We'll dig away.
Roxanne finishes translating and nods, and then she adds, we, again, can't really offer a lot in the way of reward, but depending on what you're able to bring us, we'll try to scrape together some money to pay you. But otherwise, well, you all seem pretty industrious. I'm sure you can help yourself to things if you need it.
Especially since we might be going into the fucking Centralia Club. Sorry, pardon my language.
You are really excited about this, aren't you?
By the way, Minx, pretty much from the word Centralia Club, has kind of just had her hands to her cheeks and just sort of zoned out in happy days.
Has not heard a word that's been said since.
Oh yeah, totally. Yes, well, it's the Centralia Club. Surely you've heard of it, yes?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's Rich Person Central.
It's not just Rich Person Central. You can get whatever you want there. Just going there proves that you've made it. You never have to worry about anything again if you can get in there.
I believe that what Minx is saying is that it's the dream.
Yes, exactly.
Her dream, maybe.
Well, precisely. I've been dreaming of that place since I was, well, since I was a little girl.
Finn, like, pats her on the shoulder, like, I hate to burst your bubble, but it's a month's wages for us to even get in the door.
When have we ever paid for anything?
Blair does have a point. We haven't paid for much, so...
Roxanne has been translating all of this, and Lonnie is just sort of sitting there, like, observing you all, and she just shakes her head and is like, if you all manage to get inside there, you've obviously earned it, because that place is, from what I've heard, they seem to specifically try to keep out...
people like us?
People like riff you, riff. Thank you very much.
Street rats.
We're aware of where we came from.
I like being from the piers.
Lonnie shrugs and is like, it's not exactly a place that I've ever wanted to visit, but Minx, I hope you're able to achieve your dream.
Why, thank you. And it's less of a hope and more of a certainty. I mean, have you seen me?
Don't encourage her.
Roxanne, like, translates that, and they're both just like, they're trying very hard to be polite and not start snickering at you. They're mostly holding it together. Anyway, and so, you know, Roxanne kind of takes a second to compose herself. It's like, is there any other information we can give you? Any other questions you might have?
Nope. I got mine out of the way.
Sounds good.
Minx is itching to get going.
Lonnie signs her goodbyes and Roxanne walks you guys back out and says again, I know that last time we asked you to look into things for us went kind of badly for you, so please don't take any unnecessary risks. You know, if you're able to get any of this information, that would be great, but don't get yourselves hurt.
I mean, keyword unnecessary. We may still take risks, but, you know.
We're us.
We're flattered by your concern, but we've handled pretty tough situations by now, I think.
It won't be on your conscience. It'll be something we've chosen to do.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Just good luck out there. And she heads back inside. So, who wants to go check into what? I mean, I know exactly where Minx is going to, like, launch as though from a catapult.
Of course.
But what do the rest of you want to do?
I believe it's worth a sniff around the archives.
Yeah, so you want to go chat with Jaren?
Yes.
Finn? Blair? What are you guys thinking?
I just want to wait outside the club and see if I can get a sense of when certain security guards leave and follow one of them.
Okay, yep, you can definitely do that. Blair, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'm going to try and go back to the piers and speak with my new contact and talk to them again about the attacks that are happening.
Okay, so talking to the gondoliers again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I imagine that Minx and Finn, you two probably head over to the club together and then sort of split off to do your separate things. How do you want to go about stalking someone?
I guess, like, it would probably be Prowl, right?
Yeah, if you want to sneak along behind somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool! I got a 6!
Okay, awesome. Good start. The Centralia Club is located in a large, basically refurbished mansion. It's across the street from a small park that overlooks the River Dosk. So you post up in the park and keep an eye out. So after a little while, you see two women leave the mansion. They're clearly not guests. They are wearing, they're pretty nice uniforms. Like, they're black with, like, brass buttons and some kind of brass-colored trim. And the two women leave together and start walking off down the street. They're chatting to each other, and you are able to follow.
Is one of them closer to my size than the other?
Yes. Based on looks, they're Skovlanders. You also are pretty sure that they're probably related. They look pretty similar. One of them, her hair is really short. The other one has it braided and, like, pinned up in a bun. Mm-hmm. The one whose hair is really short is closer to your build. And you notice, as you kind of fall in behind her, that she has what initially looks like a coiled whip. And then you hear kind of like a faint metallic clanking, and you realize it is like a coiled up chain. You've seen some people who use these kind of weapons. It's basically just like a big spiked chain. The other woman is a little more slight, and she has a pair of pistols on her hips.
Okay.
They do not take any notice of you, and you're able to follow them back to one of those mansions that has been chopped up into little apartments. So it's a three-story mansion, and basically, like, you see them go inside, you wait for a little bit, and then follow them in. And, like, by standing at the bottom of the stairs, you can see which second-floor unit they go into. So you know exactly where these two live.
Nice.
How about we jump over to Minx next, so the other half of the Centralia stakeout.
Minx is actually going to do less of a stakeout, and she's going to dress up as fine as she can. And what she's going to do, I think, is try to impersonate a noble inquiring as to club policies.
Okay, so, like, just try to talk to somebody at the door, not necessarily try to get in?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of role do you want to make for that?
Well, I want to make sway. I want to establish a noble personality for myself and let it be known that I will be attending soon, and I want to know exact policies.
Okay, cool. Go ahead and make your roll.
Oh, no, wait, there's a 4 there. There's a 4 there.
What? Out of curiosity, what are the other two numbers?
A 1 and a 2.
So with a 4, you get a standard amount of information.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, describe your approach up to the place of your dreams.
Well, first of all, a ways down the block, she stops and stares dreamily at it for a moment. What is the front of the club looking like?
It's surrounded by a very high wrought iron fence. And unlike a Rune's house, which was a house surrounded by a fence that had two tall buildings on either side, this doesn't really have anything on either side of it where you could easily get over the fence. The gate is currently open, but there are two guards on either side of the gate, and then at the front doors, which are these big ornate double doors, there's two electroplasmic lamps in crystal sconces on either side of the front door, clearly illuminating the other two guards who are standing outside. You see, like, as you're kind of standing there staring dreamily, another handful of nobles walk up to the door, and they seem to have some kind of interaction with the guards. You can't quite tell if they're saying something or showing some kind of item. There's clearly some kind of sign of membership that you have to give in order to gain access. But they do that, and the guards open up the doors, and for the briefest of moments, you catch a glimpse of light and a golden chandelier and tapestries, and then the door closes again.
I will simply approach as others do and wait my turn. But when I approach the guards, I'm just going to introduce myself as Lady Titanbrook and ask, just as to matters of policy, because I shall be attending not on the morrow, but within the week as the fancy strikes.
The one guard who you're talking to, who is a Akarosian man, his hair kind of slicked back. He's got a sword at his side, same uniform that all the other guards have had. He kind of looks you up and down and nods and is like, I mean, what policies are you interested in learning about? It's 4 coin for entrance.
Oh, yes, I'm aware of that. I'm more inquiring, well, a specific question I have is, suppose I have trusted help, a family butler, as it were. I imagine he is subject also to the entry fee, yes?
Yes, anyone who wishes to enter, the fee is required.
All right.
Though I'm not entirely sure why you would need to bring your staff along with you. We have people here who can take care of everything you would need.
It is more a matter of familiarity, and it is a bit of a tradition in my family to be attended. Suppose, if I were to pay his entry fee, what would they be allowed to do? It is partly a safety thing on my end.
I mean, anyone who has paid the entry fee and gained membership is free to take part of whatever they wish within the first and second levels of the club. The premier club levels on the third floor requires an additional fee.
I see. And I imagine your security extends slightly beyond the club walls, yes?
No. You are responsible for getting yourself here and to wherever you go under your own accord. However, once you pass through the gate and have paid the membership fee, you are under our dedicated protection. Your physical safety and personal privacy will be absolutely protected.
Obviously, there is trained personnel to that effect, but is there some means of storing items?
Yes, we do have options for securing valuables that you do not wish to have loose while you are potentially incapacitated or intoxicated or otherwise distracted.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your information. I shall be attending, I imagine Friday might be the best day, yes.
Very well, then. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
Blair.
Yes. Blair is going to make her way back to the piers, and if not, find any gondolier. She's specifically looking for the one that she ran into, like, a couple weeks ago at this point?
Yeah.
In that case, yeah, she's specifically looking for the giant woman.
So what are you going to roll to chat with her?
Probably consort, I would imagine.
Yeah, since you're just having a friendly chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so go ahead and make that roll.
Okay. Four.
Four. Okay. So you're able to find her down in one of the underground canals. She's leaning against the wall, has like 1 foot up on the wall, is just kind of absently staring off into the distance. And she glances over as you approach. She's like, where are you headed to?
Nowhere yet. I was looking for you, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we ever actually exchanged names. I'm Blair. And she holds out her hand to shake.
Kay. And she shakes your hand, still seeming a little confused. And at this point, like, Blair is a unique enough looking individual, being Tyka Rosie, that she's given you that look of like, I recognize you, but I don't know where I recognize you from.
Oh, no.
Probably a passenger at some point.
Is it, like, obvious? Do you think I pick up on it?
I think so.
Right, so after a second, she's like, me and my friend, we stopped by a couple weeks ago to ask you questions about the attacks on your people.
Right, yes, I remember. Yeah, they're still happening, if you were looking for an update.
A little bit of an update. I know that they're still happening, and I'm sorry about that, by the way. But the other thing is, I'm trying to find some kind of connection between, you know, the gang that's attacking you and what their connection may be to this cult, I guess you could say, called the Circle of Flame. So, have you noticed anything especially weird about the attacks? Anything creepy, occulty?
They definitely have an interest in that sort of thing. They seem to think that we have some sort of secret knowledge about lost artifacts of Duskwall, and we know a few things. The canals have a lot of secrets.
And that makes you a target, yeah.
Yeah. From what I've heard, none of them have really come after me, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've heard, they're very interested in something or someone called Kotar. They seem to just be looking for any kind of information that they can get. and they're willing to beat people bloody and sometimes to death if they don't get it.
What makes you think these people are, you know, working for the cult, whereas they aren't the cult themselves?
I don't think they're a cult. I mean, in my experience, they don't quite work this way. The Circle of Flame...
You know about them?
We know they exist. We know that they have some kind of grand plans for the city that I don't think will be beneficial to anyone but them. And they're pretty interested in these occult artifacts. You know, we hear things from our passengers. We hear things from the spirits that haunt the canals. Don't have a lot of details, but the Circle of Flame is using this old gang. What are they? The Umbra Hunters?
Yeah.
Or they're employing them or whatever to do their dirty work, as best we can tell.
You don't have any guesses as to how you could get to the Circle of Flame through these guys, do you? You don't think they leave behind a clue or trail any of them? Well, I'm asking hypothetical. I'm using the royal you. I'm not asking you specifically. I'm asking.
She kind of starts like chuckling a little bit as you're like flailing.
Yeah.
She just sort of like waves. She's like, it's fine. I get it. I would say find out who's giving their orders. Find out who they're working for. And I think that will lead you in the right direction.
Right.
But be careful if you plan on going after these people. They are very dedicated to getting what they want, and they're not afraid to break people who get in their way.
Well, lucky for them, I'm not a people. And she kind of gestures to herself and, like, her horns and stuff.
Oh, no. You're good people.
And she just kind of like gives you a sideways smile. It's like, oh, you hold on to that, kid.
I intend to. I'll let you get back to work now. Sorry to bother you.
It's all right. It's been pretty slow tonight here anyway. You wrap things up with Kay. Myra, where do you go to meet Jaren when you cannot meet him at his office because you guys are incredibly wanted and you can't set foot in a blue coat station anymore?
I mean, I think I send a note to the effect that I want to have that lunch that I've been promising him.
Okay, so where do you guys meet?
Which, you know, we were at one of the universities when we met.
Duskwell Academy, which is...
It's probably in too nice an area for me
to go.
Yeah,
yeah, it's in White Crown, the wealthiest district in the city.
Maybe there's a night market cafe we like.
Yeah.
Night market isn't too skeevy.
Yeah, it's like the commercial district.
Yeah, so I think there's like a night market cafe that we've gone to before.
Okay.
That he likes, that I know he likes.
Yeah. So you get there, and he is seated at, it's a table for two near one of the windows. He's not in his uniform. He's got his collar flipped up on his coat, and he's slouched down in his chair with his arms crossed, and he's glaring at the table.
Myra, like, she steps in the door, she spots Jaren, who is not usually looking like this, and she has to take a moment to, like, quell her sudden anxiety about this situation. She, like, takes her seat without a word.
He just, like, looks up at you, and the glare remains in place. He just kind of is silently looking at you.
Oh, Jaren, what have you heard?
What have I heard? I've heard that... You said you were just gonna do a little quick in and out, and you just needed a little information from me. As he's talking, he leans over the table, so he's angry, but he's keeping his voice down, and then three officers were nearly beaten to death. One of them won't be able to work again, Myra. She has permanent brain damage. You said you wouldn't attack anybody, and a woman had her fucking skull caved in.
She, like, keeps her cool, but she doesn't, like, try to laugh it off or anything. That was unplanned and unfortunate.
You think?
I try to think about where I get information and who I'm getting into trouble. I would not have put you in danger deliberately.
No, that's only because you know me. If you didn't know who I was, if we didn't have this history, I would be just as expendable to you as the rest of them. I know that a lot of the Bluecoats are crooked, but we're people. We have lives and families. And now one of us is going to be spending the rest of her probably severely shortened life in a fucking hospital.
Jaren.
And it's because of what I did for you.
I understand. You don't want to be involved in this. And that's...
You've been using honestly... me, Myra. You show up, you ask me for information, you smile and tell me that we're such good friends and you just need this one little favor. And then this happens.
So I think that she's been sort of sitting there, like, with that kind of cool, polite air, like she's going to deal with this calmly. It's not that, like, her face necessarily falls, but, like, she leans forward, too, and this is deadly serious to her now. If we weren't friends, I wouldn't have known you for this long. I wouldn't have kept your name away from my former employer. Believe me, Jaren. I don't know how to make you believe me, but we're friends.
You've got a weird idea of friendship, Myra. And he goes to start to stand. And at this point, you're going to need to make a roll. This is partly your gather information roll. You're going to be at lesser effect with him. So even if you get a 6, the best you're going to be able to get out of him is like standard information. But this is also going to be basically if you get a 3 or below, he's going to leave.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So, consort.
I would think consort.
Oh, no. The best one I got was a 4.
Okay, so that is limited.
I think she kind of reaches up and grabs, like, the cuff of his sleeve and, like, tries to pull him back down.
He stops. Like, he doesn't sit back down, but he stops when you grab him.
I do have a strange idea of friendship. For you, I didn't have friends. So how this has happened, I don't understand. But I'm willing to do whatever it takes to keep this.
He stands there, clearly struggling for a moment of where he's just like, he's still obviously very angry, but at the same time, you have kind of gotten through to him a little bit. And after a second, he heaves this enormous sigh and sits back down and just goes, I shouldn't still be sitting here, but I don't really have any other friends either.
Let me buy you a sandwich.
So you guys have lunch and talk, and you're able to smooth things over enough to where you can kind of ask him for information by the end, and he doesn't just throw his drink in your face and storm out.
So I think it's what it looks like, because it's more of they've been chatting, and she kind of returns to the seriousness, and she's like, I know that I've been asking more information of you than usual lately. It's
like, he's got his, like, his cup halfway to his face and just, like, stops and gives you this look.
It's not that it's been a difficult time. It's that it's been a very active time. A lot has been thrown in my direction, and I think things are happening, finally, for real.
So you invited me out to lunch to ask for more information?
No, I did not invite you out to lunch to ask for more information. I invited you out to lunch because I promised, although I kind of always need information at this point.
He just sort of gives you a look of like, okay, fine, what do you want?
If you happen to be able to know where I could find the names of some people whose names have been redacted from a report.
I mean, that happens a lot.
If it helps, they're pretty bad news.
That does not narrow it down in the slightest.
Former leader of the Umbra Hunters.
Okay, that helps.
Sold out all the rest.
Well, if they turned traitor to the Bluecoats and gave him a win like that, yeah, they wouldn't have touched him. I don't know off the top of my head.
That's understandable.
But I can look into it. I'll send something over to your usual guy at that, the one tavern, the Dog's Foot?
The Hound's Paw.
I was close. I'll see what I can find and I'll send something over.
Thank you. And I don't know if I'll ever not ask for information, but I'll understand if you say no.
See, that's the problem, Myra, is that whenever you ask for information, it sort of puts me in the position of, if I say yes, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but if I say no, and you end up getting hurt or killed, then I'm always going to wonder if it was my fault.
If I'm hurt or killed, that's my responsibility and not yours. I live the life I lead. I haven't gotten out of it. I could be doing something boring and surviving. I'm not.
Boring's not so bad. You might want to consider it. And this time, like, he stands up and goes to leave, but as he passes by, he kind of, like, squeezes your shoulder and then heads out.
I think Myra just kind of, like, buries her face in her hands and lets out the longest sigh, because that could have been so bad.
So, where do you all reconvene?
It's probably just back at the nest, right?
Yeah.
You guys all share your information, obviously. What are you planning to do with this information?
The thing that we're really looking for is to get more information about these security guards. That'll help us with the bigger aim of figuring out more about the Umbra Hunters.
Yeah.
The advice Blair was given was find out who is giving them their orders, because it seems like the Umbra Hunters are working as security at this club and carrying out attacks on the Gondoliers and probably doing other things you guys haven't heard about yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so figuring out who's in charge of them would probably be useful information.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just looking to corner a member of the Umbra Hunters, there's a lot of different ways you can do that.
Yeah.
Finn knows where two of them live.
Yeah.
So it's possible we may not even have to deal with the Centralia Club.
You could also hang out with the Gondoliers and try to catch some of the Umbra Hunters when they're attacking.
Unfortunately, all of those seem easier than doing something with the Centralia Club.
Yeah.
And less expensive.
Yeah, I think the Centralia Club is big and shiny and we kind of want to do it, but I don't know if it's the smart play and I don't think Myra would want to be going for that.
Well, I suppose we should add it as a long-term goal for our crew then.
Yes.
Because that will be a significant score.
So yeah, so what are you guys thinking you want to do?
I'm leaning more towards trying to catch them in the act, because then that way we might get even more inkling as to their motive as well.
Okay, so you want to, like, hang out with the Gondoliers.
Indeed.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And perhaps we could go on a moonlight gondolier ride while we're at it. Did they ever say if there were, like, certain locations that are more at risk, or do they just get attacked all over the canals?
It mostly seems to be in Silkshore, Night Market, and Six Towers. Silkshore and Night Market are both areas that the Gondoliers can't really avoid if they want to make a decent amount of money. And Kay works in Night Market, mostly.
Yes, I say we do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it takes a little bit of looking, because Kay is not at the same place where she was when Blair ran into her the first time. You guys have to, like, check a few different docks before you find her again. She's actually just brought some passengers and is, like, helping them out and accepting her pay and sending them on their way. And she sees the four of you approaching. She's kind of like, oh, you're back. And you brought friends. Hello.
Evening. Charmed. I'm Minx.
Kay.
A pleasure. Minx whispers to Blair, why didn't you tell me about this person?
We did. We said we would meet the buff gondolier lady. We told you.
Yes, just now.
What can I help you with?
We were, wondering if we could purchase/borrow your services for the night. It will be mutually beneficial in a fashion that should lead to the ceasing of the attacks.
Huh.
We want to ride with you until you get jumped.
If we're speaking plainly, yes.
Why bother with, like, dancing around the subject? That's what we're gonna do.
If I was by myself somewhere, they might be willing to give it a shot.
With us in hiding?
Yeah, I mean, if you're staging an ambush, that would be the idea.
Would you be willing to put yourself out there like that? Not that you can't handle yourself.
Well, I am pretty tired of having friends get beaten up, and if you all think you can make this stop, I'd be willing to take a little bit of risk. Also, I have a gondola, and I can move surprisingly fast in it. So if I feel like things are getting a little more heated than I want to deal with, I will just leave.
That's fair.
It sounds like we have an arrangement, then.
Since it sounds like we're moving into the score,
mm-hmm.
It sounds like you guys are doing an assault, honestly.
Yeah.
I think an assault, and the point is the duck where Kay stands alone.
Okay. You are going to be in a controlled position when the action starts. So we're on the dock in Six Towers in one of the canals. Kay is standing on the pier with one hand on the pole that she uses for her gondola. It's still resting in the water, but she has a hand on it so that she can hit people with it when the time comes. And I think you guys have to hang out for like a few hours. But sure enough, after a while, a group of five people come walking down to the canal, and you guys hear Kay go, ah, good evening. Do you need a lift? And a woman replies, no, love. We just need some information. Where are you guys set up?
I feel like we should be near a bridge. That might be useful to have someone above on there, but also be able to get to the other side.
Minx, do you want to be up on the bridge?
Yes. Yes, okay. I'll be up there.
Where's everyone else lying in wait?
I feel like fairly close but towards the bridge, rather closer to the bridge than the dock, than the end of the dock.
Okay. Blair, where are you?
Maybe I'm like in a nearby alleyway. I am in the shadows, being all ninja-like.
I'm hiding behind one of the crates then.
Okay. So there's a woman in the lead who is the one who's questioning Kay. It's basically she's kind of up talking to Kay, and the other four have formed like a half circle around them, sort of boxing Kay in at the end of the dock. Finn, you recognize two of the women.
Yeah, they're the guards, aren't they?
Whoever wants to act first, basically the controlled starting position means they have no idea that you're here, and you will get the drop on them when you start your attack.
Okay. Can I go first?
Yeah, no, you probably have the most strategic position.
Okay. I think what I'm going to do is take a shot with my unusual weapon. That is to say, a bow and arrow. And what I want to do, and my justification for using Rook's Gambit to use Sway instead of Hunt, is that I'm not actually caring about dealing all that much damage to them, but I kind of just want to pepper them with arrows and make them care about me and get them distracted and scattered.
Okay.
Okay. This is 2 2s and a 1.
Fortunately, it's controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that what happens is, like, you take aim, and then the woman in the lead gets, like, right up in Kay's personal space, and you're suddenly worried about hitting Kay.
I think I'm going to back off.
Okay. Who wants to go next?
Okay, so I guess I'll start with the ones in back.
Okay.
I'm going to barrel in, and I want to be causing as much noise and damage as possible so that I can use Wreck for that.
Very on brand.
Okay, so I got 2 6s and a 1.
So 2 6s is a critical hit.
Yay!
So that means the person that you hit is just, like, out.
Cool.
Who do you want to take out?
The one who's my size! So what I do is that since I'm behind a crate is I smash through the crate, tackle her, and sort of do the one-punch knockout.
Yes. That does draw everyone else's attention squarely on you.
Mission accomplished, I guess.
Myra or Blair, what do you guys want to do?
I'll just go with unusual weapon. And maybe it's some kind of, like, a very thin rapier or fencing sword. It's very delicate. And Blair is going to try and get up close to one of them and try to disarm them.
Okay. This is, at this point, going to be risky because they have been alerted that an attack is occurring. But yeah, go for it.
Okay. 5.
So I think you rush up on the non-binary person.
Cool.
As you rush up, they whip around and have on brass knuckles. And, like, as you come in for the stab, they clock you across the face.
Oh, no.
And you're going to take level 2 harm, punched in the face. You are welcome to roll prowess to resist, but...
No, I'm going to save my stress.
So I think anything that's going to require coordination or concentration is going to be at a -1 die.
Two things I'm good at.
All right, Myra.
I'm going to try and keep my distance while still helping. I think that the thing that I have is probably, I guess, a pistol.
Okay.
And I'm going to try shooting, which...
Do you have anything in hunt?
Nope, I guess I have to push myself.
I can distract.
Okay. You want to take a point of stress and assist?
Yes.
So I'm going to be rolling 2 dice, which is really not bad. Yes! 6.
Nice.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot the lady with pistols, because she can also shoot me.
Sounds good. You hit her in the shoulder. As this fight breaks out, there's a little bit of, like, looking around, and then Kay just grabs the woman who is up in her face, and the two of them are just kind of, like, grappling now.
So it's a bit of a brawl down there. I might as well get all sorty and stabby, too. Who's got someone on them?
Me.
I want to try to save Blair.
Thank you.
So this is going to be risky standard effect.
Uh-huh. 6.
Hey!
So I see everything's just gotten, like, it's a clusterfuck now down there, so I just sort of put my bow back. But then I see Blair, the party baby, is in trouble, so I pull out my cane sword, take a running hand over the rail, leap off the edge of the bridge, and land right there and cut him down from behind.
Okay, that doesn't take them out,
uh-huh.
But they've let out a cry of pain as you slash across their back.
She's our precious demon baby. You stay away from her.
Thanks.
really think that?
Of course.
Can I do another punch?
You sure can.
I'm gonna use my scary weapon, which is a set of brass knuckles that have, like, extra spikes on them. Like, brass knuckles that, like, also curl around to, like, the back of her hand.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go for the man with all the daggers.
And this is gonna be risky, standard effect.
Okay. I'm so nervous. Those are both twos.
Oh, no.
Okay.
It was time.
You rush in to punch this guy, and he whips two daggers off of his bandolier and throws them at you. One of them, you're able to dodge out of the way, but the other one just slices across your ribs. So it's going to be level 2 harm.
Yeah.
Which you can resist if you would like. You'd be resisting with prowess.
So I have 3 with that, because I'm a punch monster. 2 6s and a 3.
It's going to get knocked down to level 1 harm. You take no stress, and because you got 2 6s, you actually clear a point of stress if you have any.
Yo!
Nice.
If you critical on a resistance roll, you clear stress. So you twist out of the way of the first one, and then mostly twist out of the way of the second. I think that's just going to be kind of impeding anything physical. You're going to be at lesser effect. Who wants to go next?
I will do that. I will go next. I need to redeem.
All right. What are you going to do?
I want to get back at this guy with my sword.
You are going to be at -1 die.
So does that mean I roll nothing because I have 1 in skirmish?
Yeah, you roll 2d6 and take the lower unless if you want to push yourself or try to get an assist.
Nah. 3.
Mm-hmm. You take another stab at this person.
Right.
They dodge out of the way and just kind of dip their shoulder down and charge into you, catch you in the stomach, and send you skittering back. You're basically, like, teetering on the edge of the dock.
No!
So you're going to be in a desperate position.
No!
As an update, Kay and the lead woman are still, like, fighting over on their section of the dock. They're both a little bloodied. It doesn't look like either one of them necessarily has the upper hand at this point. So, Myra?
All right, I gotta...
Save the baby!
I'm thinking about what I could do, helpfully.
I mean, you could fucking run up to me and grab my hand and pull me up.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Maybe a finesse to get through that crowd?
Well, finesse or prowl?
I have 1 in both, so it doesn't much matter.
So this is gonna be risky position, lesser effect.
God damn it, I got a 2.
As you try to rush past this person, they trip you. And you just go face down into the dock. You smash your nose and you have a bloody nose. That's distracting and painful. Level 1 harm. Bloody nose.
Do I resist that?
You can resist. It would be with prowess.
4.
4? Okay. So you're going to take 2 stress, but you manage to get your hands underneath yourself and you do not smash face first into the dock.
I want to save the baby.
Oh.
All right. How are you going to save your precious demon baby?
Can I just put on a show of being threatening and kind of go hog wild swinging at the person so they have to focus entirely on me?
What skill are you planning on doing here?
I'm planning on using sway.
Okay, taking the 2 stress again?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay.
2 4s and a 5.
So you do it, you stab them.
Mm-hmm.
But you, unfortunately, leave yourself open and you hear the boards creaking behind you as the guy with the daggers steps in behind you to flank you. So you're now basically stuck between 2 people who are armed and angry and you are in a desperate position.
Mm. Hey, that means XP, right?
Can I get a revenge shot in on Dagger Man?
Yeah, you can definitely try to.
I'm going to go to smack him again with my spiky things. Which will be especially frightening because, like, he just stabbed me twice. Well, he tried to stab me twice and actually got me once.
But you're still coming.
Yeah. I feel that it, like, happens, like, I dodge out of the way and the other one hits me as I dodge. And I just, like, look at it and swing at him again.
Okay.
I hate these dice.
What'd you get?
My highest is a 2.
Oh, no. So I think what I am going to do at this point is I'm going to start that clock, because this scrap has been going on for a little bit. There's been some noise, there's been some yelling, so we have a blue coat alert, 1 out of 4. That's the complication. The guy with the daggers dodges out of the way and shoves you back.
I need to get up.
Yeah, Blair, you're still wavering at the edge of the dock.
Kiddo.
Myra, you are face down on the dock.
What if I try and sort of sneak towards Kay's gondola to get it under Blair?
Yeah, you could try to do that. I think that's going to be prowl.
That is a thing I can do without pushing myself. Yes, I got a 5.
Okay. So you rush over to the gondola and, like, Kay left her pole kind of propped up against the pier. So you, like, grab that and you're just able to push the gondola over and it floats over behind Blair. As you do that, you hear two pistols go off.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
The shots don't hit you, but the additional noise ticks up that clock. Okay, Blair, now do you want to do something?
Is there a way I can maneuver my way onto the gondola, either by just straight up falling, or do I have to, like, finesse some kind of jump to get down there?
Like, if you're trying to fall into it without hurting yourself, it's probably going to be prowl.
Okay.
You are still going to be in a desperate position,
mm-hmm.
because that was the consequence for last time. So, good news, you get experience in prowess.
I got a 2, my dudes.
Okay. You fall backwards. Mm-hmm. Do not make it into the gondola. You are in the river.
No.
Are gonna have to deal with getting out of the river.
And it's probably cold as shit.
Oh, it's extremely cold, and you can feel stuff moving.
So, like, what would Kim have to roll for getting out of there?
It's probably gonna be prowl.
Blair, how's your prowl?
My prowl's all right. I have 1 rank in prowl.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in the water.
Okay. Since you're entering the water in a more controlled, deliberate fashion, it's going to be risky.
Okay, and then I'm going to push myself to give myself an extra die.
Okay.
I'm so scared.
I am also scared for you.
Oh my gosh!
What did you get? I can't tell if it's good or not.
I got snake eyes!
Holy shit. She got snake eyes.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, let's see.
Oh, my heck.
Okay, so I think what it is it's, again, you just lose the opportunity. You're not able to get to her. You're both just kind of flailing around in the canal.
Oh, dear.
Kay, having seen 2 of you go into the water, she's going to attempt to break away from the other woman and try to help you guys out. She got a 5. So the woman that she's been grappling with, she throws basically into the woman who has the pistols and then is going to rush over and hold her pole out to probably Blair.
Mm-hmm.
She's leaving herself open to attack by doing this. Blair, you're going to have an assist in getting out of here.
Hooray.
Who wants to act in the meantime?
Me.
All right. What are you doing?
So there's a guy behind... Guy in front of me who's very injured and a guy behind me who's not injured?
Correct.
So this is going to be directed towards the person who's not injured. Pocket sand.
I love it.
Good old pocket sand.
Yep, throw that transpowder.
What's the devil's bargain look like?
This is the last of your transpowder. You're going to have to spend a downtime action to get more.
God, I already have so many downtime actions I want to do. But you know what? I'm going to take it. I really want this to work. 6s.
Okay. I think what happens is you whip around and, like, as this guy is coming towards you, he's got daggers in both hands and he, like, takes a breath to say something, like, cool and menacing as he stabs you. And instead, as he's taking that breath, you just throw the transpowder in his face. He drops both daggers. And just goes slack-jawed and is staring into the middle distance.
Get wrecked.
Fantastic.
And is out, effectively out of the fight.
No, you guys don't get to do run-liners. That's our thing.
Okay, so who wants to act next?
So I think Myra's gonna catch Minx's eye. All right, get this guy into the gondola. I'll try and get everyone else in.
All right, dear.
Who's in the drink right now? Blair is being helped by Kay. And Finn is?
Hi.
Okay, I'm going to try and help Finn into the gondola.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think I have enough stress left that I'm going to push myself.
Finn, if you're willing to take the point of stress, you can assist.
Deal.
What the fuck? I got 2 sixes and a 4.
That's awesome!
And she is going to climb into the gondola herself, reach a hand out to Finn, and haul her over the side and into the boat. Probably Finn, like, falls against her because that's what happens when you pull someone into a boat.
Yes!
Blair, do you want to try to...
I would like to do basically the same.
So Kay is assisting you, so I'm going to say that that gives you improved position.
5.
5, okay. You do it, but there's going to be a minor consequence.
Maybe I dropped something in the river, one of my belongings or something.
Yeah, that works.
One of my acorns. One of my acorns drops in the river.
Oh God, yeah, that's a good one. No. I mean, that's really tragic, but it's good.
Oh no, all right, I'll mark my 3 acorns to 2.
Yeah, but you're in the boat. All the people who are in the water are now in the gondola.
Yay. Can I do a shoot?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who are you shooting at?
Let's do the leader.
Okay.
I got a 6.
Okay, I think you get her in the leg, and she kind of staggers. Minx, you and Kay are the only ones still on the dock.
Okay, I want to unceremoniously push Transpowder Guy into the boat and get the fuck out.
Okay, I think it's going to be either Skirmish or Prowl.
I'm going to push myself about it. 4.
I haven't shot you yet, have I?
No.
Oh my god.
All right.
I seem to get not attacked very often in fights.
Well, guess what's about to happen? You kind of do a rush, grab this guy around the waist, and jump for the boat. Uh-huh. And as you're jumping, you hear a, no! And then a pistol goes off, and you feel a bullet rip through your side.
Yeah.
And you and the guy tumble into the boat, and you have level 2 harm, but you are in the boat. All 4 of you are now in the boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Kay tosses a salute at the remaining people, swings into the boat, and begins pulling away very frantically. So yeah, you guys make it away.
Yay.
With a captive.
Yay.
Who, his night is going great right now. Things are fantastic for him. The rest of you are bleeding and soaked. And he's just like staring into space and grinning. So, yeah, Kay continues to kind of pull along down the canal as you guys sort of sort yourselves out. Your captive is kind of like half sprawled on the bottom of the gondola, staring up at the tunnel ceiling and just kind of like smiling vacantly.
I kick him.
Wow.
No need for that.
Plenty of need.
I do believe we're going to have to start with the good cop approach here.
No.
Seriously?
I don't think he's going to respond well to...
Yeah, no shit.
The aggressive approach.
Yeah. You try your way, and then when it doesn't work, we'll see that me punching the living life out of him is just as good.
Yes, well, you are quite good at that, but at least give me a shot here.
Well, if he's inebriated, maybe he'll be more compelled to tell the truth. I don't know.
Now, dear, we're safe here. We're your friends. We made you feel all happy, didn't we? We just want a few answers to our questions, and you can keep feeling happy like this. How does that sound?
It takes a couple seconds for his eyes to, like, find your face. He just kind of, like, smiles at you really blearily. Go ahead and make, I'm guessing, a sway roll.
Critical?
Hey.
Jesus Christ. Okay. You are going to be able to get basically whatever you want out of this guy. So, yeah, this is some real good shit you got.
And there is more where that came from, let me tell you. Completely ignoring the fact that I am specifically quite out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he doesn't know them.
Yeah. I'm going to ask him who gives him his orders. I'm just going to be super blunt about it.
Oh, Harville? Well, you know, what do you want to know about him?
We're just looking to make more friends. They're your friends, and we're friends, so I figure we should be friends.
Yeah, you should. He'd like this stuff. This is good stuff. You could sell it at the club, yeah.
The club?
The club. Do you mean...
Yeah, the Centuralia
Club, yes.
Yeah, that one. He owns it. And he could use the good. This is some good stuff. And he could sell it there if you guys were all friendly friends.
That does sound like a good idea. I think I will have to bring some to him, and we can be, friendly friends. So, you and your friends, what is it exactly that you do? How are you having fun?
What do you mean? Like,
you were told to go ask about Kotar, and you have friendly conversations with the gondoliers, and I just want to know why.
Harville says to go ask about this stuff. It's him and his friends, his new group. They want to know about this stuff, and so we go and we ask, and then the gondoliers don't tell us what we want to know, so we gotta break their skulls. Kay, like, scowls at that and just kind of glares back.
Now, did Harvel, you mentioned his new group. Was his old group the Umbra Hunters?
Yeah, he used to be my boss with them, and then everybody else got arrested, and he took over the club and joined this new group, and it's been great, because I get paid a lot more, and, like, when I work at the guard at the club, it's, like, it's so much nicer. You don't have to go out on the street and beat people up all the time. You get to just sit in this nice, fancy house and watch rich people piss their money away.
And you get to beat up innocent gondoliers who don't know anything, and that gets you paid more money. It's great.
Yeah.
Can I punch him now?
Oh, no. I want to ask a question.
Fine.
I promise when we're done.
Yeah. No, you can beat the shit out of this guy when we're done.
Great.
That doesn't sound like a lot of
fun. Oh, she's joking.
You'll feel awesome after.
Okay.
So, why were you and your buddies looking for a thing called Kotar?
Because the boss wanted it. I don't know what any of that shit is. He says to ask about this stuff, and so we ask, and then if we find anything out, we go back and tell him.
Have you found anything out?
Not really. I'm starting to think they maybe actually don't know anything.
Gee, I wonder why.
So I think Myra leans over. And what's your name?
They call me Lark.
All right, Lark. Nice to meet you. And this is our friend Finn. And Finn, Lark. Now I think it's about time for you to make acquaintance.
And he, like, kind of rolls his head to the side to look at Finn.
Hey there, buddy. I punch him!
Myra winces.
So you beat him up. Like, do you just not, like, beat him into unconsciousness?
Yeah, I, like, beat him till he blacks out, and then I back off.
Okay. So now there is a bloody unconscious man in the back of the gondola. Where would you like to be dropped off? Because she'll take you wherever you want to go at this point.
What's the exit closest to that prissy fencing school?
Over in Crow's Foot? I mean, yeah, she can take you up there.
Yeah.
I think if you ask for that, she's going to be just kind of give you a look and be like, yeah, sure. Why do you want to head up there?
I have reasons.
Kay, like, looks at Finn and then looks over at the other three of you, like, kind of raises an eyebrow like, should I? Are you all cool with this?
It is generally best to comply, yes.
She'll take that detour. It takes you guys a little bit to get up there.
Can I try to chat her up on the way over?
Oh, yeah.
Minx.
While bleeding, she seems to be, like, she's a little distracted with the gondoliering and seems to be, like, fairly concerned about the fact that you are bleeding from a bullet hole in your shoulder.
Listen. I'm taking care of it.
Yeah, she's a little bit like, you know, this is a weird time to flirt, but sure, why not? So the flirting is going well.
Yay.
As you guys get to the dock close to the Red Sash's headquarters. Finn?
Yeah. Is there like a bench across from the school, like near where I was just loitering and staring?
Sure.
Cool. So I'm going to set him on that bench. And I'm just going to leave him there and I'm going to walk away.
Okay. I think Kay is just kind of like, all right, she'll take you guys back and drop you off, you know, somewhere in Six Towers. So she's like helping you all out, and like Minx, as she helps you out, she's like, you should really get that taken care of.
Oh, yes. I'll handle it post haste. Though before I go, I should say, if there's any more trouble or if you simply want to see more of each other, you can find us at the Hound's Paw.
She grins and is like, I was just about to ask, and steps back into her gondola and says, be careful, and I'll see you around.
Evening.
Finn, what do we get to see Finn do?
Sawtooth, patching her up.
What was her injury?
She was working on getting the rest of the shrapnel.
Do you guys all go to Sawtooth individually, or do you show up as a group?
And we're all sitting in the waiting room. I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Okay. Madge, what does Sawtooth look like? I feel like with a name like Sawtooth, he is an intensely sketchy dude.
Yeah, he's, like, so sketchy. I picture him, like, looking like Tom Hardy. Like, Tom Hardy with the giant scar, like, from over where his canine is on his lip all the way up over his eye.
So you come in and, you know, tell him about the shrapnel that you've got lodged in your arm that has been there for weeks. And he spends the next 20 minutes with a scalpel and tweezers poking and prodding in your arm and making like small cuts to dig out whatever shrapnel he can find and just lecturing you almost without pause the entire time about how incredibly stupid you were to leave this for so long. There's scar tissue grown over it and this could have gotten infected. Do you want to lose your whole arm?
How cool would the scar have looked?
I mean, it's a pretty cool scar, but, like, the scar is sort of being added to because he's cutting. He's yes. having to, like, cut into your arm to dig the rest of the shrapnel out.
Yeah.
You know, he does that for a little bit and then bandages you up and is like, I wasn't able to get everything.
Okay.
Probably because it's super deep in there and I'm going to need a magnet to find the rest. But that's what I can do for now. Once that heals up some, I'll get back to work on the rest. If you get shot again, please come and see me right away.
I had a fight to go to after. Pretty sure.
Send in whichever one of your friends is next. So, Finn gets lectured by her doctor. Myra, what do you do on your downtime?
Let's do the indulging device scene.
Okay.
So I think she sort of walks along, like, winds her way a familiar route from the Hound's Paw to the Devil's Tooth. It's probably, like, sort of one of those Tudor-style buildings with the dark wood beams across it. And it looks relatively, like, legitimate from the outside, but you walk in and everything's dark and there's, like, little dangly, sparkly things that you can't quite see in the darkness. And I think lamps with, like, red glass covers and such. Just very almost spooky or mysterious inside. And I think I have a long-standing arrangement. I don't even necessarily go up to her and talk to her. She just kind of nods at me across the room. I go and see which one of the rooms is free and open the door and go inside. And I think, like, sometimes dream smoke is enough, but I think in this case she had so much stress that it's Black Lotus. And you just kind of mostly just see smoke more than anything happening, and then just there's like a couch and you see her just kind of stretch out and close her eyes and almost look like she's going to sleep, and just a long sigh of relief.
You want to tell us one vision that she has, because it induces visions.
We see like a red lamp turn to a green lamp, and the walls are covered in shelves full of books, and it's dark and silent, and she's in a library alone. Sort of fades to black from there.
Aww.
That's very good and the nerdiest goddamn thing.
Do you want to know what's worse? It's totally the library she and Jaren hung out in the night they met.
Aww. Friends. So, Minx, I believe you are finding a new vice purveyor.
Yeah, the lack of wall decoration and getting the painting from the heist got her inspired. So I think her new kick is going to be works of fine art. And I think she, like, makes a good impression by coming right in, being enthusiastic, and making a really high profile purchase. I'm thinking this is maybe, like, a cityscape or something. And okay, it's cool. It kind of goes on the adjacent wall to the other painting, but, like, the frames kind of, it's not super big, so the edges of the frames kind of bump up against each other.
Cool. I like it. All right, and Blair.
I imagine Blair goes to Arana the Blessed again, and she's bragging about, like, oh, we're getting to learn about the Circle of Flame, and we interrogated this dude, and I'm learning all this cool shit, and, like, this is really awesome. I'm going
to
learn occult
stuff. I think, you know, when you start talking about wanting to learn more occult things, she pulls out some books, let you read through them, and talk to you about, like, essentially, like, occult histories of Duskwall. So, you know, there's kind of the official history of Duskwall, which is, you know, more political focused. These are sort of looking at, like, the different cults and forgotten gods and demonic influences that have played a role in the city.
Can I borrow them? Her eyes are so wide right now, you guys. There are probably stars.
These are fairly rare tomes, and I would prefer they not leave my sight. But you are welcome
to... Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. I respect
You are
that.
Welcome to stay here for as long as you wish.
Thank you.
And I imagine that's kind of where the overindulging is, because you hang out there for, like, 8 hours.
She's just setting up red thread all over the walls and stuff, like, crazy-eyed. It's probably, like, 3 a.m.
At which point Arana is like, I believe that your mind has been as filled as it can be. You should go. And, like, gently...
Oh, no, I have room.
Gently escorts you out.
Okay, but we'll do this again next week, right?
Of course, my child. Closes okay, the bye. Door and starts taking all of the red...
Thank you!
Just starts taking all of the string off of her wall, muttering to herself. So, do you guys want to reconvene at the Hound's Paw?
Yeah.
Minx, I think that you perk up right away because Kay is sitting on one of the bar stools.
Yay!
Rigney is chatting with her, and as soon as you guys walk in, he straightens up. And usually when you guys come in, he's like, you know, happy to see you. He looks kind of worried this time. He circles around the bar, grabs something out from underneath it as he comes out, and he has an envelope in his hand that he gives to Myra and says, this came in for you, a young man dropped it off, and your friend here wanted to wait to talk to you, which is fine, but it's not really safe for you all to be here right now. There were some inspectors who came around who were asking some rather pointed questions about you. I didn't tell them anything, but they didn't seem too happy about the fact I didn't tell them anything. I'm pretty sure that they will be coming back at some point. So I think probably it'd be better for everybody if you give this place a bit of a wide berth for a while.
I understand. We got a little bit too comfortable.
Oh, dear.
It's not a permanent thing. You guys can, you know, if one of you wants to stop by the back door, you know, maybe in a week or so to see how things are.
In the back?
Listen, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want any of you to go to jail.
I think we will simply need to take our refreshment somewhere else for a week at least.
I wish you didn't have to. I mean, I like having you here. You're good for business, but... Worse for business to have, you know, inspectors or bluecoats bust in and arrest people. Or me. If I get arrested, it's very bad for business. I'll hang on to any messages that come in for you, as usual. But, yeah, I think that might be for the best.
Okay.
Very well.
And I think Kay, at that, kind of shrugs and downs the rest of her drink, puts a few coins in the bar, and is like, well, it's nice to meet you, but gonna be heading out with them. Rigney just kind of looks sort of sad as you all head back outside 30 seconds after coming in.
I think Myra's going to stop as they leave and thank him for the warning.
Like you guys, you're good customers, good for business, good friends, and don't want to see anything happen to you.
We feel the same way.
Thanks. Like I said, stop by in a week, see how things are looking.
Will do.
So yeah, you guys are now outside.
Well, I think to ramp up, I'm going to have a nice evening with Kay. Out on the town, maybe.
All right, so we've got some leads on the Circle of Flame and the Centralia Club, and Minx has a date.
Yay!
That is where we will pick up next time. Thanks for listening. The Magpies will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at @magpies_pod. The Magpies podcast is hosted and produced by Rhi. Follow me on Twitter at Rhiannon42. Blair Culhane is played by Kim Kogut. Follow her on Twitter at Kim Deanna Jones. Minx is played by Josie. Follow her on Twitter at DragonGirlJosie. And watch her art streams at picarto.tv/DragonGirlJosie. Myra Keel is played by Minna. Follow her on Twitter at MinaMinar. And Finn Haig is played by Madge. Follow her on Twitter at MadgeQuips. The opening and closing theme music is from Trio for Piano, Violin, and Viola by Kevin MacLeod, and is used under a Creative Commons license. The Blades in the Dark roleplay system is the creation of John Harper and is published by Evil Hat Productions.
Also, I have new dice this week.
Ooh.
Yay!
Yay.
Ooh. May they be blessed.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. 90 minutes later.
I hate these dice.
Oh no. What'd you get?
My highest is a 2.
Oh no.
Madge, are these your new dice?
One of them is my pretty new pink dice, and the other one is my tears of dice.
I will say, you guys were rolling very well at the start of this, and then it just went off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
When someone says that the dice giveth and the dice can taketh away, I'm fine.